We're continuing the book of Shmuel. We're up to what's called the 13th chapter. The Navi over here tells us something very confusing. The Navi says that Saul was king over Israel for a total of 2 years. Now, when Shaul passes away, his son Ish-bosheth takes the throne. There's a constant civil war, a constant war between Ish-bosheth and David. And Ish-bosheth is 40 years old when he takes the throne. So you imagine his father must have been at least 55. You figure King Saul is at least 15 when he got married, right? At least. So we're accustomed to thinking of Saul as this youngster who's looking for his father's donkeys. Seems like he was in his late 50s, early 60s. When he became king. You got to figure he has a daughter that David marries. Now David's going to be 30 when Saul passes away. So figure David was 29 when he married Saul's daughter. So we don't know how old his daughter was. But Saul has all these kids. He's now king. His kingdom, the whole period of his whole kingdom, all the wars, the story with Goliath, the story of his chasing David. At total 2 years, everything from start to finish. He was king 2 years. Just gives us a little bit of perspective because we're going to study, you know, we've been studying about him. We're going to continue studying about him. But this all is in the span of 2 years. So Saul has 3,000 soldiers and he appoints his son Jonathan, Yonasan, as general. And their war, it's interesting, is going to be focused in the territory of Benjamin. Where I live, where I'm talking to you right now, I'm sitting here in the section called Benjamin. We have over here an area called Geva. We have Givat Binyamin. We have Michmas. And perhaps you guys have to come out here for a trip, maybe this Thursday. We got to take a tour. No, we got to show you what's going on. Like, what are all these hilltops? What is this whole area of Benjamin? Now, if you look behind you, there's a map there. Can you see on the map, does delineate the area of Benjamin? Either one. You see, you got three maps there. Look at Beit El. Okay, you see the area of Binyamin, right? It extends almost till Jerusalem. Okay, so
north of Jerusalem, right?
A little bit to the north, yeah.
Part of it in Jerusalem?
Right. The area of Benjamin extends into Jerusalem as well, right? That's true. So the area of Benjamin was actually pretty desolate because remember in the Civil War, all of Benjamin was killed out. You had 600 men left from Benjamin. That's it. Women, children, families, everything was wiped out. So now what's left is a small population, a large area, and King Saul has with him 2,000 men in Michmas. Michmas is very near what we call today Michmas. That's probably where Michmas. And he has people in Beit El. Okay, so we know Berach where that is. And we have 1,000 people with Yonatan on a hilltop called Givat Binyamin. Now, they're beginning their advances against the Philistines. So, the first step is to kill the Philistine governor. Jonathan goes and kills the Philistine governor, and that governor was in Geva. So, we're not sure which hilltop Geva is. Maybe it's the hilltop right near me called Givon. We'll see. There's Givon in the Tanakh as well. So, the Philistines hear that they've been attacked. And Saul sends word throughout Israel, be careful. We've started the rebellion. So you guys have to be careful. The Philistines realize that we're at war. And now some join forces behind Saul in the place called Gilgal. And others run to the caves to hide. The Philistines prepare for war. They gather 30,000 chariots. Now, remember, we discussed their chariots were like tanks. They had spears coming out of them. They had knives coming out of them so that they could maim people. They could cut people at the legs. and they have 30,000. They have 6,000 horsemen aside from that, and they have hundreds of thousands of infantrymen. And they camp near Michmas. And when the nation looks down and sees the whole territory, as far as they can see, covered with soldiers, they run away. They start hiding in caves, in little crevices, in caverns. Many of them fled to the other side of the Jordan. And Saul unites his men. The prophet Shmuel told him, in 7 days after you start war with the Philistines, I will come to Gilgal and we will offer a sacrifice. The 7 days are up and the Philistines start making moves. Saul wants to go to war. The people see the Philistines starting to advance. And one by one, people start leaving. So Shaul is stuck in a crunch. Imagine the situation. He's outnumbered 100-1. For every man he has, they have 10 chariots. Forget infantrymen. He has no normal weapons. They have taken every blacksmith and abducted him into Philistine territory. There are two swords. He has a sword and his son Yonatan has a sword. Everyone else is using their sickle, you know, the tools they use to harvest. That's what they're using to go to war against this powerful army that they have not been successful against historically. Every time the Philistines won, the only one who succeeded against the Philistines was Samson, and even he only succeeded in his terrorist activities. He didn't succeed in overcoming the Philistines. Saul sees that his army is starting to dwindle. One by one, people are leaving. And instead of attacking, he's standing there waiting for Shmuel. And Shmuel isn't there. The 7 days are up and Shmuel isn't there. What's he to do? You can imagine the pressure. His life is in danger. All the people of Israel are relying on him, and everyone's in danger, and the war is about to begin, and he doesn't want to go to war without sacrificing. And Shmuel's not there. So under pressure, Shaul caves in, and we can understand Shaul. It's not a problem to understand how he caved in. On the contrary, it's very hard to understand how he was expected to stand up to such a hard test. And he brings the sacrifice. He goes against what the prophet told him. The Navi told him, wait until I come. And he did not wait. And he finishes the sacrifice and Shmuel walks in. And Shaul goes out to greet him. And Shmuel says, what'd you do? And Shaul says, I saw the nation leaving. And you didn't come. And we agreed you'd come. And the Philistines are uniting. They're about to attack. And I said, I'm going to go to war. And I didn't speak to God. So I overcame myself and I forced myself and I went and I gave the sacrifice. And Shmuel tells Shaul, you messed up. What a stupid thing. You had a mitzvah. Hashem told you to wait and listen to the prophet. And you were supposed to be king and you would have the dynasty of Israel forever. But now you're not going to last. What kind of king are you? Where's your heart? If you're given one mitzvah by God and you didn't listen. And with that letter of rebuke, with those words of rebuke, Shaul has to go out to war. You know, I don't know how he woke up the next morning. Shmuel tells him, you messed up. You could have had it for you and your kids and forever. And because of what you did, that's it. It's finished. And Shaul has to go to war. Shaul doesn't step back. What a brave soldier. He prepares the people. He's left with 600 men. He's gone from 2,000 to 600. Can you blame him? He's lost a third. He's down to a third of his men. Two out of every three soldiers left him. Can we begin to imagine what kind of test it was? Initially, he started with 2,000. 2,000 against 30,000 chariots. Forget the infantrymen. Now he's left with 600. He's outnumbered. They have 5 chariots for each soldier he has. This is a joke. Here we start seeing the tremendous emunah Hashem expected from the leaders. The prophet told them to wait, and he was expected to wait. I don't know. This is like amazing. I read this and I'm blown away. You know, I always read the test and I understand Saul. It seems to me like such an incredible test. God expects him to wait. So the Philistines start moving. Now what's interesting here is that they start sending out, they have different battalions. They're divided into 3 groups. And they start extending their forces. So they're basically threatening Saul that he's going to be surrounded. They extend to the right, they extend to the left. They have enough men for this. So they're ready to advance at war. And Yonatan says to the lad, his arms bearer, he says, "Let's go over to the Philistines." He doesn't tell anyone. He says to him, "Are you prepared?" And the lad says, "Yes." So basically, they're on one hilltop, and the Philistines are on another hilltop. And he tells the lad, let's go attack, you know, us 2 against all of them.